prepped with popcorn and pop. For this dad and his son, it's another movie night at their go-to indie cinema.
We love this theater. There's something different about seeing a movie in an old-style theater. These are the theaters I grew up with in Toronto, and there aren't too many left.
But a new report claims small theaters like this are in trouble. 60% of Canada's independent cinema owners that took part say they are operating at a loss. They can't compete with big theaters and are missing out on the buzz that comes with blockbusters, all because of practices like zoning.
Just over 50% of independent cinemas in Canada have to clear a Cineplex. So that means that they have to wait for a Cineplex to be done showing a film before they're able to show it.
Joining us Moving Radio today is a guest I track down, because I'm like that sometimes. If I see something interesting on social media, I will kind of try to find you so I can talk to you. And this person has been kind enough to respond. Not everyone does, and that's okay. Sonia William, the director of the Network of Independent Canadian Distributors. The acronym is so nice. NICE, I love that. You set that up so perfectly. Whoever's genius that did that, the Network of Independent Canadian Distributors, to be nice, is a genius. We have lots of stuff to talk about with Sonia. We're going to get to it. But the thing that kind of tipped me off is that there is significant issues for movie theaters like our own Metro Cinema here in Edmonton, if you happen to be living here, that has to do with things called zoning and the monopoly of large theater chains like Cineplex. They're not evil necessarily, but they're not exactly trying to help anybody out either. That's why I wanted to get Sonia on the show. Sonia, welcome to Moving Radio.
Thank you so much, Christian. It's great to be here.
Well, look, I'm just glad you reciprocated and said this is something you want to talk about. I know from seeing a post from, I think it's the Rio in Toronto, that kind of tipped me off to what, you know, your organization was doing. I was like, wow, like how, I've been doing this show forever. And I didn't even know, like decades, I didn't even know there was a network of independent theaters across Canada. I've been following all of them on social media, but I didn't even know there was a network. So, you know, before we get into the details of maybe the, not doom and gloom, but some of the issues that are happening right now for independent theaters, let's talk to you about what NICE is in the first place and what it does for all those independent theaters across Canada.
Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned the Rio, the Rio's in Vancouver, and it's a cinema with a personality. People who know the Rio, like, love the Rio. The Rio is it's a fan favorite. It's got a real personality to it. It has a real point of view. And that's what independent cinemas are. Independent cinemas, they're often, you know, mom and pop shops in a small town, or they're a drive-in movie theater, or they're a cinematheque, or they're related to a film festival, or, you know, in Toronto, there's Hot Dog Cinema. They only show documentaries. They're kind of the cinemas that are a bit different. Maybe you have a bit of a personal connection to them. You're on their email newsletter list. And so that's what NICE is. NICE is a network of all of the independent cinemas that kind of bring something a little bit different and a little bit extra. We also have some regional chains. So maybe you know Magic Lantern Cinemas. You know, they're also a member because they're also independent. Something that you mentioned and you hinted at, and I know we will get to, but really in Canada, every cinema other than Cineplex or Landmark is independent. And a big reason for that is because Cineplex really ate up all of its competition. And now they have 74% of the box office market share in Canada, which is just an enormous amount of, you know, an enormous slice of the pie. And so what that means for independence is that we're really just everything else and all the other alternatives beyond Cineplex and Landmark.
Yeah, that's the problem, I think, is really what we're talking about here is maybe people not realizing that there is a limited amount of choices and kind of what that monopoly by these two companies, although mostly one, that what it has done to those kind of smaller theaters and just not-for-profits or mom and pops, either way that it goes, right? For us, we kind of look at it as, you know, Magic Lantern no longer operates in Edmonton. So now we just look at Metro Cinemas pretty much being the only game in town when it comes to an art house cinema. That number that you look at, that is 75%-ish of screens in Canada. That's, you know, I don't think it's shocking necessarily because all you got to do is drive around any major city and you're like, oh, they have the biggest signs. They have the biggest theaters. Like, they're in giant places, right? But maybe let's look into this practice of what zoning is exactly, because that's one of the major issues with Cineplex, and they'll always claim it's not their fault. And also this idea of clean runs, which comes back again to the distributor. And I guess in addition to Cineplex's monopoly, this has made the situation so dire that a complaint from several independent theaters had to be filed with the Federal Competition Bureau. So let's explain some of those issues that are happening and why those cinemas and yourself are having to bring them to the forefront.
I mean, the outrageous thing is a lot of people will say kind of what you just said, Cineplex must have 75% of the screens, but actually they have fewer than half the number of locations of independent cinemas. But what they have is they have 74% of like the box office. So that's the money that comes in, which is, I mean, just on the surface of it as well, like quite unfair. Because in terms of reaching audiences across Canada, these small towns, you know, we have the Yukon Theatre. They serve a geographic area the size of the United Kingdom. That is one independent cinema. And the reason that the large chains aren't there is because I guess they don't see it as economically viable, but we're saying you don't have to be a big multiplex. You know, there are a lot of different ways that people want to go see movies and a lot of value in these different, you know, types of venues. And I think a lot of people would say their favorite movie theater is the independent, right? Because they maybe have a bit more of a personal relationship and that kind of thing. So what we're really saying is, you know, Canadians want a choice of where they want to see or where they want to see a new movie. And so the two things that you mentioned are kind of connected and separate. So the number one is this idea of zones. So zones existed from a long time ago when we had 35 millimeter prints and we were shipping to different locations. And we were saying, okay, only one person gets this 35 millimeter print of a film in this location. But what ended up happening over time is that system kind of got warped. Now venues don't really play 35 millimeter prints, but also there's no map of zones, and the way that movies are distributed or shared between cinemas is very shadowy. So an independent cinema can't ask a distributor, like, what is the map of zones around my cinema? They kind of just get told if or if not they can access a film or not. And so basically what a zone is only one cinema in this area can play a film at a time. And what we found in our survey is over 50% of venues have to clear a Cineplex. And I believe it's just over 40% have to clear more than one, which is wild because it really, really means it's limiting the new movies that cinemas can show. And so, for example, last year, everyone made a big deal about Barbenheimer. They were saying, it's the return of theatrical, the big blockbuster. We're all going out, having a nice time. And a lot of our cinemas could not show either film for months and months and months, well into winter. And that's really unfortunate. You know, we have some very cute cinemas in our network, you know, some that are painted pink and would have a great cocktail to go with Barbie. And they weren't able to access these films. And we do think that's unfair and not really what Canadians want. They want to be able to decide where to see a movie. The second issue is the idea, this concept of clean runs and these studio demands. So large US studios, you might have heard of Disney or Universal, they have these very stringent demands on cinemas to make sure that they just get as large of what's called a per screen average as possible for a film. So they just want every single penny, which would be fair enough if there were some restrictions on it. But what ends up happening is we have cinemas in small communities, sometimes 2,000-3,000 people, and they have to show, for example, like Avatar 2 for maybe 4 weeks at a time in absolutely every single showtime. And maybe that doesn't really make sense for a small town. Maybe everyone's already seen Avatar 2 by the time week two rolls around. And maybe there's a great new kids film that comes out and you want to show that, you know, on a weekend matinee, or maybe you want to invite in some local talent to do a little like show, that kind of thing. And, but they are absolutely not allowed to because these large US studios just kind of have all the control. And there are no regulations on either of the things that I just mentioned. So it's all kind of taken, or there are no regulations on any of the items I just talked about. And so there's been kind of a creep in terms of how they're applied. And what we're finding since the pandemic is that it's become a lot harder for cinemas to operate in a healthy, competitive manner. And now we're really asking for us to relook at these policies because they're just clearly unfair and they're going to end up making independent cinemas kind of unable to do business.
Sonia William is our guest today on Moving Radio. We are talking a little bit today about some issues for independent cinema owners within Canada and also some of those not-for-profit art house theaters, just like the Metro Cinema. But hopefully we're going to have some hope at the end of this. But we got to dig through all the issues that are happening right now before we get to that. Sonia, 60% of the theaters that you as an organization had talked about operating at a loss basically in the last fiscal year. And that's a real negative number, like 2/3. And this is post all the theaters that shut down after COVID, even probably that were probably more those mom and pops and maybe, you know, people that couldn't afford the leases for those spaces if they don't necessarily own the buildings. That's 2/3 of the 67 theaters that you polled even said that they would need more money, looking at about $50,000 per year for the next 2 to 3, maybe even to just keep up operating. So, I mean, the question here is that not how's it going to happen, but maybe what are some ideas that hopefully could bring these theaters back on their feet? I know people in the seats is a huge way to do it, but are we at a crisis point or are we just moving towards that? And now we just see that black cloud hanging above those theaters.
Yeah, great question. Yes, I think we all knew, and we're seeing this, you know, all across the board, across the arts and small business, the post-COVID recovery has been tough. There can also be a bit of a knee-jerk reaction to asking for cash. And what I really want to, you know, get through from this report and survey is that there are structural barriers that we can get help from government and policymakers to help us adjust, because, you know, when it comes down to it, NICE exists because little cinemas each by themselves can't make that much noise, but together we can really start to influence, and that's what we're starting to do. So we've only really been working together for 6 or so years, and we really only took off during the pandemic when cinema operators who are very, very busy people who really love their jobs and, you know, their cinemas are their lives, they finally had time to come together and really organize together and talk about our shared issues. But I'm speaking to many independent cinema owners in small towns who tell me, you know, they don't pay themselves. Their cinemas are labors of love and they want to make sure that they thrive, but the cinema is not thriving in the way that they needed to. And they know for sure that if they could show the films that they knew their audience wanted to see and they could put the movies on their screens that they knew would, you know, fill the house, that would completely turn everything around. And we see that in other countries as well. In the United States, they have the Alamo Drafthouse chain. In the UK, they have Picture House Cinemas and Curzon. There are a lot of thriving boutique cinema chains in other countries around the world with audiences just like ours. And you kind of have to ask, is it that Canadians love films less, or do they love going to the movies less, or are they less innovative? And that's not the case at all. Really, what it is we've created these structures that are really holding back these cinema operators. So another thing too is, you're all going to see it. I'll tell you now, the streaming models are changing. You're going to start paying more for streaming. It's going to come with ads. It's going to look like cable used to look like, all sorts of bundles and things that you're maybe not that big of a fan of. Because streaming, the way that it has been over the past few years, doesn't actually make money for the companies behind it. And so they are starting to push into cinemas too, because they know you can make money when people buy a ticket. And you can get great marketing out of a theatrical release. So even if people don't really want to stop streaming as much, streamers are going to want people to change their viewing habits. So I do think we're going to see people go back to cinemas. And another spoiler alert for the year to come is there are going to be fewer big blockbusters coming out of the States. And so what we really want to do is help all these independent cinemas kind of make their program a little more exciting. You see that at the Metro all the time. They have guests on stage. They have special one-offs. They have these event screenings. That's a model that really works, and not every cinema has access to it. So we really want to be able to help a lot of cinemas, you know, change their business model a little bit too and make more exciting and diverse screenings. And it's just really, really hard with these structures that are coming from zones and from studio demands that are limiting cinemas from really serving their audience.
Yeah, you mean you bring up an interesting point there too about streaming and just how it started to evolve to reflect TV more. And that's a whole different conversation, but you know, you already start to hear people moaning about that. And I'm like, I don't know what you thought, because if they can't get the money there, they're just going to find another way to do it. I was encouraged by the fact that studios starting to be like, well, maybe this isn't the model to go after. Mm-hmm. You know, and not just because you hear some large important artist, you know, whoever that might be, probably Chris Nolan being one of the biggest, to be like, this will not happen on my watch. But
yeah,
I mean, that's great. But at the same time, I'm like, I think the reasons for it need to be given a little bit more than anything else.
You made me think about something I'm quite sad about, which is that Turning Red, the Pixar film that's set in Toronto, was never given a theatrical release. And that truly breaks my heart because it's set in this city and we could have had such an amazing celebration of this film. But instead it went straight to Disney Plus and people really weren't able to have that kind of communal experience that they were hoping to. We have one cinema in the network that's, you know, based in near the college that the animator went to or the director went to. And he ended up being able to host a special screening of it. But these are just the special moments that get lost if we just shift everything to streaming and we don't allow for these like great communal experiences.
Well, and on top of that, just, you know, it's kind of inside baseball stuff, but sometimes the distributors are either going to ask way too much money or they're very limiting about what they'll actually allow you to show. I don't know if it's still happening now, but I know Fox was notoriously bad for any kind of second run screenings of some of their older stuff, right? That you would have before at independent cinemas. So I don't know. I mean, there's so many other different things that go underneath. We can look at the top and say, you know, this is the problem. And Cinemaplex is definitely part of it. But it feels like there are many things in this Jenga-like building that we need to dismantle carefully so it doesn't all fall apart, basically. Sonia William, director of the Network of Independent Canadian Distributors, that stands for NICE, is a fantastic person talking to me today on Moving Radio. We're talking about independent cinemas and not how they're going to die, but how maybe we're going to resurrect them. And there's some issues right now. Look, Sonia, Cineplex will run around and say, oh, it's the prerogative of distributors. Like, it's not us, guys. Really, it's not us. How's that possible? I mean, they've got enough of the market that they could really dictate whatever they wanted to distributors. They have the buildings. Where else are they going to go? You know, they're not going to open up their own theaters because that's not smart of those companies either. And they're not going to establish those things, especially not in this country. So what is missing here that Cineplex could actually do instead of just pointing the finger up?
I think something to think about is Canada does seem to have a lot of very large companies. I think we're very familiar with this conversation. There's a lot of talk about Loblaws. There's a lot of talk about Bell, TELUS, you know, Rogers. There's so much talk about our large companies in Canada. And there was actually a Canada Land Commons episode about Cineplex specifically in their Monopoly series. And at that episode, they had an anonymous film distributor come on and talk about kind of their experience. And what they said is, yeah, Cineplex can say that it's our decision, but if we make Cineplex upset, they can really, you know, kind of financially punish us by not really playing our film, by not marketing it properly, by putting it in a poor screen, by maybe not picking up our next title. And so really you have to think about how are these rules implemented and who are they privileging? And really they're privileging the largest player in the room repeatedly. And so that's kind of the answer to that, where it's like, I really think that this idea of zones is quite antiquated anyways, and it really is holding back cinemas from showing the movies they know that their audiences are going to love. We're not talking about the big Marvel movies, which aren't usually a big independent cinema film. We're talking about movies like Poor Things, you know, which is doing so well right now, Everything Everywhere All at Once. Those kinds of movies really appeal to kind of that more indie cinema crowd. And we think that they're deserving of that opportunity.
It seems short-sighted, but I'm sure that they have their reasons to feel like there's not more of a market for that beyond that, or that there isn't an audience that kind of doesn't necessarily want to go to the multiplex, that they appreciate a lot of the theaters that are smaller, that are more intimate, that are more community-based and run, And I think maybe that's where the issue is, because I mean, depending on the film, I've waited myself just till it gets to Metro at times, knowing that that's important. And I'm just like, well, life is busy. I couldn't see it. So in two more weeks, I know I'm going to be able to go there. You know, I think that's part of the issue. I don't know that we're ever really going to be able to communicate that to a board of directors, but it would be nice.
Well, I think it can be a decision that's, there are a lot of things around all of these quote unquote rules that are very opaque and not really known. And the more that we talk about it and the more we shine a light on it, the more flexibility and little gaps that we might be able to see. So I really think, you know, this is a fact, this is a thing that's happening. Let's talk about it and let people know, you know, there's a reason. Maybe your cinema is not showing the movie that you really, really want them to show. And maybe there's a reason behind that that you didn't know about. So that's just the kind of basic awareness that we're trying to raise today too.
You know, time after time when I've seen a film that's done its festival run, but then it gets a theatrical run, that feels like almost when the directors or the people who are involved creatively get the most excited. Like, it's great to be able to have an audience that's already bought into a festival and maybe into your film as well. But to have a run, particularly for Canadian directors, I feel like every time I've talked to someone or every time I've been at a screening where that director's in attendance, this is what they get excited about, because it seems it's much more accessible now to a wider audience instead of just the festival people, the film people. You know what I mean? Like, it feels like, oh, these are the real people, right? So when you look at an organization like Telefilm that helps fund a lot of those projects, they release something as well called the Canadian Movie Consumption. It's an exploration of a bunch of stuff about independent theaters. But for you, on your website, you posted a lot of positive things that you pulled out of that, which is great. Instead of kind of focusing on maybe some of those things that are already reiterated in the stuff that we talked about before, what are some of those glimmers of hope that you see that even Telefilm sees, and they're very much tapped into, like, how many projects they can even fund that we see on Canadian screens by Canadian filmmakers?
Yes. I mean, I love that Telefilm report. And part of it is that we've never even had a benchmark before. I didn't really know what our baseline was. I think optimistically, I would say there's a lot of room for growth, which I think you saw on there as well. You know, Telefilm's remit is to support Canadian films reaching Canadian audiences and international audiences. And there's been a huge gap, I think, in terms of really prioritizing, you know, once the film is made, how is it reaching audiences? And I really, really believe these independent cinemas are such a route towards, you know, for marketing, for letting people know that a film even exists, like you said, for having that experience, for reaching a broader audience. I also do believe in film festivals and stuff too. And speaking of film festivals, like, you know, independent cinemas are crucial venues for film festivals. But yeah, so for that Telefilm report, I think it's really just about shifting some attention into how, you know, we're baking all this bread, but who's eating it? You know, like, where are we making sure that Canadians are knowing about these films? And there are some great movies out there. There's a Canadian movie called I Like Movies, and it would have been perfect for an independent cinema crowd. And a lot of independents were shut out of that film because of zones. There's some movies out there, like, there's a new one that's out and released right now called Seagrass. It's kind of a Japanese-Canadian film set on the West Coast. And a lot of the cinemas that would be a great fit for it, they are tied to studio demands from the US. So they just cannot spare some showtimes to show this amazing Canadian film that would really resonate with their audience. So it is just about kind of getting Telefilm a little bit more involved. In terms of the report, I think it's just interesting in terms of what will motivate people to come out to the cinema more, and also what is their experience there. And I did love that there was such an emphasis on trailers. And I think that that's something that all cinemas can really learn about, and distributors too, is just, you know, let's show everybody the trailers to our films. We live in this video kind of online age. A great trailer is an incredible tool for building awareness and building audience.
It's the most easily marketable thing that now you don't even have to necessarily buy ad time. If you create something that has some sort of pull for whatever the audience wants, instead, and because it's never driven by stars, it's driven by story, or it's driven by maybe some sort of connection to whatever it is that's happening within the film, or maybe where it's done, that's also possible, that I think that's the best thing to be able to put out there, because people will just end up sharing, right? Mm-hmm. And that's a powerful tool that you don't necessarily have to keep investing in, like ad time is, right?
Yes. And I mean, you look at Quebec and they have built a real star system and they've managed to create these enormous stars just within Quebec. So their domestic box office is huge. But also, you know, Dune 2 was directed by Denis Villeneuve, a Quebecois director. So you really just, you know, the proof is in the pudding when you see what happens when you invest in your own talent and you really like build some domestic support for them.
Yeah, look, let's not also forget the producer behind Dune and Dune 2 is also from Quebec as well. On top of that, he just brings a whole crew with him. He's like an Adam Sandler of Quebec cinema, maybe. You know, before we leave you, because I've taken up a lot of your time, Sonia, I really appreciate it. I think it's been a great conversation. To be honest with you, if we were sitting at a bar, it would probably go on too long and you'd have to find a way to get out of the situation. But I'm going to give you one last thing here, is that maybe for people that are listening right now and their interest is piqued, and maybe this is a lot of information they didn't know about necessarily, what's the best way for people to connect not only with your organization, but maybe no matter where they're listening, to be able to like find ways to support that independent theater too? Does it mean a lot to follow them on social media? Does it mean a lot to repost those things, that kind of stuff?
Absolutely. Every independent cinema is a precious, beautiful thing. And so we always encourage everyone to follow them on social media, sign up to their newsletter, go buy a ticket. For the Network of Independent Canadian Exhibitors, we have social media at Cinema in Canada. You can find us on Instagram and on Twitter. To be honest, we're mostly facing our kind of cinema membership, but every once in a while, we'll knock on people's doors and say, hey, you know, why don't you let your elected official know how much your independent cinema means to you? Because I think it really does matter that there are communities who really care about these places. We also found in our survey that over 30% of our members are the only arts or entertainment option in their community. That's even like, you know, they don't have an arcade, you know, this is it. So they are really, really important places. So I would say that follow NICE on social media and also just engage with your local independent.
Our guest on Moving Radio today, Sonia William, director of the Network of Independent Canadian Distributors. You've already told them, Sonia, how to get a hold of all these people. I say check it out. Also, there's tons of information out there that on your website as well, if you want to extend and further that even more of some of those things that we've already talked about, whether it's the telefilm research or some of the other numbers we talked about, if people are kind of interested in that, like myself, because they are truly obsessed with this idea and don't want Canadian cinema to be relegated to just a couple of big films that a studio decides to produce. So whether it is somebody like Level, who's doing a lot of great Canadian stuff recently, hopefully they can continue to do what they're doing. We really appreciate your time, Sonia. And hopefully maybe we can talk about this again in the future, and maybe we got some really good news. Like things are on the
exactly.
Because right? You've done all this hard work with you and your friends. And we've galvanized the country cinematically.
Right? Exactly. Yes, that's future.
Well, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.